In opening the meeting this evening, we'd like to turn your attention to three short verses that are found in the New Testament. Our first verse, if you have your Bible with you, if not, you can read along or listen, is found in the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel by Matthew in the first chapter, and we will read verse number 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. Now, we're not taking the time to read the context of the story, but simply this is the words of the angel that was sent by God to speak to Joseph. And he's speaking to Joseph in verse number 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I'm interested in that little phrase at the end of that verse, "He shall save his people from their sins." Just turn over a few pages to the Gospel by Luke. The Gospel by Luke, and we'll look at chapter 19. Again, for one short verse. Gospel by Luke, and chapter number 19, and verse number 10. "For the Son of Man," that is speaking of the Lord Jesus, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Our final reading will be over toward the middle of the New Testament in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read verse number 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom," the Apostle Paul says, "I am chief." We're interested in looking at the middle of that verse, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In opening up the gospel message tonight, we have already spoken of the fact that we will be telling you of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's really what prompted our first two hymns, speaking of the fact that only the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and the giver of salvation. I work for a man, and occasionally he will ask in a meeting, when those of us that work for him are gathered sitting around a board table, he will look at one of us and he will say, "Why are you here?" It's an interesting question when you're just getting started for a meeting on a particular subject. And I can tell you that every time we know that the chairman is going to be in the meeting, each of the people that are sitting or attending that meeting knows exactly why they're sitting there, knows exactly what they hope to get out of that meeting, or what they plan to contribute. Well, I would just like to ask you tonight, why are you there? Why are you sitting here? Perhaps you say, "A friend has invited me to come along." Well, I can tell you why you're sitting here and what we hope that you will get out of this gospel meeting. You're sitting here because you have a need. You're sitting here because this is the place where the story of our Lord Jesus Christ will be told out. You're sitting here because you can hear how that your soul might be eternally saved, how that you can have peace in your heart, how that you can leave this building tonight with the joy and knowledge of your sins being forever forgiven. That's a good reason to be here, isn't it? That's the best reason of all. Someone was speaking today about the price of gold this evening, and how that the price of gold, a little fluctuation in the price of gold up or down, can create a big panic. And then the thought was quickly expressed, how much more important is the soul of an individual than the price of gold? And it's our desire tonight, as we tell of the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation from these verses, and from others that you'll hear, that you might be saved, You know, a soul without Christ is a soul without hope. A soul without Christ is a soul without peace. A soul without Christ is a soul without joy. And tonight we're here to tell you that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope, there is peace, there is joy. There is contentment. There's a little Sunday school chorus that goes, there's real joy in knowing the Lord. And this is what we're here to tell you about, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our first reading tonight was in the book of Matthew, and it took place at a time when the world was in darkness. There was not a lot of spiritual light in the world. And lo and behold, an angel sent from the very throne of God comes, and he speaks to a man named Joseph. And he tells this man, Joseph, that there's a woman, and she will bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and the purpose of his coming is he shall save his people from their sins. It's a remarkable thing to think that this message came from the throne of God to the ears of man. You know, we marvel in our world today at great messages that have been sent and received. If you were to travel to the other end of this great nation, and you were to climb a hill in St. John's, Newfoundland, you would see a monument erected on that high, rocky hill. And that is the point where that first radio message was transmitted over the Atlantic Ocean, and it was received there on Signal Hill in St. John's, Newfoundland. And there's a monument marking the place and commemorating the day when that message was sent and received. I'm sure we've all read in our history books, and some of us might even remember the day when we heard the news of the first words of Alan Armstrong when he landed on the moon. It wasn't so terribly long ago. And those of us that are older can remember that day when he said, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. And the world waited eagerly to hear what that message was going to be from the first man that walked on the moon. Well, we read tonight a message that came from a greater distance than that moon that orbits this earth. We read a message tonight that came from the very throne of God, and it came to the ears of Joseph. A Savior was going to be born. He will save his people from their sins. As that message was true and was accomplished almost 2,000 years ago, that message is still true tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ did come. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved millions of people who have lived on the earth. He shall save his people from their sins. This ancient message that was uttered to Joseph is the same message we bring to you tonight. That there was one who was born, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from the very throne of eternity. He came from the heart of God. He came into the world for one reason, to save his people from their sins. I can well imagine Joseph in hearing this message. What a delight it would have brought to his heart to know that one was to be born that could save his people from their sins. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation from sins. Men have tried many ways, and men have tried many things to rid themselves of their sins, but only the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from sin. It's only the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross that can save a lost sinner, give hope to one who is perishing. The second verse that we read, I'd like to just think of it. He came into the world to save sinners. That's actually the third verse that we read. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this very earth to save sinners. When we stop and think of it, the Lord Jesus Christ was ever in the Father's bosom. We could read about it in the Old Testament. He was daily the delight of the Father. But if salvation was ever going to be provided for us, for you and for me, it took the Lord Jesus Christ to leave the heights of glory. It required him to come into the world where you and I are tonight. This very world, the world that his own hands had created, the world that his own word sustains, this is the world that he came to. He came down to right to where we were. And you know, as he came into the world, he didn't come with any pomp or majesty. He didn't come with any visible glory that would designate him as someone special that we could tell by his walking into a place. He came in humility. He came in poverty. The Bible tells us that he humbled himself. The Bible tells us that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. The Bible tells us of that great stoop that he came and he took upon himself not only flesh, not only humanity, but we read that he came in the form of a servant. That lowly, humble servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, walking amongst men, he came into the world just where you and I are. You know, we read marvelous things about the Lord Jesus Christ, things that make us stand back in awe. We read that he's the brightness of God's glory. We marvel at this, how that this one who was the Son from heaven, God, would ever humble himself to be the lowly carpenter of Nazareth, to live amongst men. What was the reason for this? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into the world? So that he could demonstrate, so that he could show the heart of God, so that he could prove to the world those delightful words that God is love. God is love. You see, God had spoken in different ways and at different times throughout the centuries, throughout the millennium. And God had spoken through his prophets, and God had told the people certain things, but the people's heart was turned. Now God finally speaks to us, the Bible says, in his own Son. You know, if someone were to speak to you or to me and say, I'm speaking to you in such and such a language so that you might understand. I was just over in Europe and I had to communicate in other languages to make my message known, to speak to the people. God wanted us to understand. And he spoke to us in a language that we could comprehend. The Bible tells us that he spoke to us in Son, in a person. So that as we view the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know the heart of God towards fallen men. We know what God thinks of us when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why learning about the Lord Jesus Christ is so vital, so imperative, that we know the heart of God as we study him. And what do we find when we see him? We see one coming down into the earth. Not only did he come down into the earth, but we read, if we were to take the time, we read that he went his way, and eventually he went to Calvary. Why did he go to Calvary? The Bible tells us he came to seek and to save that which was lost. To save those of us that were lost. If we were to turn to the book of the Romans, we would find out that we're all lost. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's standard. None of us, not even the best of us, could ever attain to that standard of holiness that God requires. We're all sinners. We've all fallen far short. The delightful news tonight is there is one who came to forgive us for those sins of our life. There's one who came into the world, and his express purpose, the reason he came into the world, was to forgive us from our sins. That's why we say those words, Jesus alone can save. No name else is given. Search through earth. Search through heaven. No one else can save. Only of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought the blessing of salvation to you and to me because he went to the cross of Calvary, we read, to save the lost. You know, many years ago, I came as a boy of 11 years of age. I came as a lost, guilty sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw for the very first time in my life why Jesus died at Calvary. I realized when he died at Calvary, he died for me. He was there. He was there for me. I had heard about the Lord Jesus. As a boy, I can remember sitting on my grandfather's knee, and my grandpa would tell me about the Lord Jesus, and he would tell me about his life, and he would tell me about his death. But it meant nothing to me. It was just a story like any other story. But you know, the older I grew, the more I wanted to know the sins of this little life forgiven. At that time, I was only a boy, maybe that high. But I knew one thing, that I was a sinner, and I needed God's salvation. Maybe there's someone here in our audience tonight, and you've heard this story over and over again, and you might be able to recite gospel verses, but you're still in your sins. How can that be? Perhaps you could stand here and tell enough of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that others might be saved. And yet you yourself, you're still lost in your sin. You're still going down that broad and crowded road. You're still heading for destruction in the pit. Isn't it time you wake up? Remember that question I asked at the outset? Why are you here? We prayed tonight. The brethren prayed right downstairs, right below this floor. They prayed that you might be saved. That you might be saved tonight. That you might see yourself as the sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for. That verse that we read, he came to seek and to save the lost. You know, because he went to the cross of Calvary, there's another verse, we didn't take the time to read it tonight, but it says he's able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save those that come to him, all who come to him. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight is seeking, he's inviting, he's welcoming sinners to come unto him. Why? Why? Because in our own selves, in our own best deeds, we cannot meet God's standard. We're sinners. Everyone in this room, born in sin, Bible tells us we're shaping in iniquity. Our lives, they produce sin. But thanks be to God that he provided a way of escape, a way of salvation. He provided, through the person of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a way, a means whereby everyone can be saved. Everyone? You say, even me? Yes, even you. Tonight, as you sit in your seat, this Bible assures me, and I can speak because I believe it, that you can be saved even where you're sitting tonight. How can I be saved? How is it? You know, there's a man named Nicodemus, and the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, you must be born again. And the Lord Jesus Christ was explaining God's marvelous way of salvation. And Nicodemus asked the question, how can these things be? He was astounded by the fact that a sinful man could be saved. These things are a fact. As this story has been told out for almost 2,000 years of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, men and women, boys and girls have believed it. They've trusted in the finished work of Christ. And many of them are now in the glory. That gives me courage to tell you tonight that you can believe it. You can accept it. The Lord Jesus Christ is still saving sinners. All who come to him, none will be cast out. And tonight, if you come with all of your need, if you see yourself as that lost, helpless, hopeless sinner, and you come to him, the Lord Jesus, and see that he died on the cross for your sins. Trust him. He will save your soul. You know, salvation is a wonderful thing. There's nothing in the world that any of us who have been saved would ever exchange for God's salvation. It is a treasure far richer, far greater than anything we could ever own or hope to own. I remember in the year 1986, I was not well. I was in the hospital. I was confined to the hospital bed. I remember in the room next to mine, it was in a private room. I was that ill. They had to leave me alone. And in the next room to mine, there was a man. And I knew about the man. I never knew him personally. But he was the wealthiest man of our city. He had a great estate. He had horses. He had businesses. Probably couldn't even tell you the beginning and end of the money that he had. But Mr. Sid White, he lay dying in the hospital bed. And I remember as I was confined to my bed, I was so weak I couldn't even lift my head off the pillow. And I can remember hearing throughout the hours of the night, Mr. Sid White, he was dying. And he was cursing God. And he was cursing anyone who walked into the room. Because he had to leave all of his wealth. He had to leave the power that he had amassed in life. He never even took time to get married. That's how driven this man was. Because he wanted to acquire more and more. And I remember the night Mr. Sid White died. He died a broken man. And everything he had amassed in life, he left it all behind. And there's just a simple grave that marks his time here on earth. And you know, as I lay in my bed, I wanted so earnestly to get up and go tell that man of the Lord Jesus, but I couldn't. I was confined to my bed. I was thanking God all the while. While that millionaire is dying in the next room, here I am. I didn't know whether I was going to live or die at the time. But I was sure of one thing, that I had far more than Sid White. I had the knowledge of sins forgiven. I knew that I was going to heaven. I knew that if I was in his case, I would be dying happy because I would see the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory. What about you tonight? When you put your head on the pillow, if tonight were to be your last night, could you put your head on the pillow calmly, knowing that all is well? Can you? If you cannot, we urge you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, as Brother Drybrough continues in the Gospel.